yeah, there's a part of me that's lonely. It's a struggle with wanting to be independent and not wanting to be a housewife and all of that, because I don't think that that role suits me. But at the same time, I also want companionship. I do want to have a family. I want kids. It's like a struggle. And I'm like, I feel like the biggest contradiction, because I'm wanting this, but I'm also wanting that.
This is a huge collective thing that many, many light workers are working on at this moment as we're ushering in the new divine feminine. And in the new divine feminine has to come the healing of the distorted masculine. And the distorted masculine is within all of us. Welcome to the Akashic Recordings. I'm Annette DeLue, Akashic Conduit, Channel, and Spiritual Guidance Coach.
And I'm Julia Nalivaiko, storyteller and creative producer of conscious media content, such as this podcast. What you're about to hear is a real-life Akashic Records session with Annette and one of her clients, recorded with their permission. For privacy, their names have been changed, but everything else is real.
Stay tuned to the end of each episode, where we deep dive into subjects that come up throughout the session.
In this episode, Annette is working with her ongoing client, Marla. Marla and her mother, who is also a regular client of Annette's, have both been going through their dark night of the soul, dealing with lots of overwhelming emotions that they have been working on healing for some time. You will hear Marla's mum being referred to in the later part of the session, since the two of them are working through the same ancestral trauma and their journeys are intertwined. But first, let's hear Marla tell us the primary reason she came into this session.
There's a certain pattern that is going on within my friendships, but I believe it's been happening ever since my early days of college. It's my connection with my own family members has not been the greatest. I'm not exactly close with a lot of my blood relatives. And so because of that fact, I have learned over the years to treat and look at my own friendships as my own family. That's when an attachment starts to form, when I start getting really, really close to someone. And when that person starts dating other people, that's when it seems the connection between us tends to go our separate ways. And that's happened so many times with people. It is now starting to happen with even my film partner, because he's mentioned that he's looking to date people, he's on dating apps. And every single time he's mentioned this, fear has struck up that I'm going to lose him. We're going to be going our separate ways. I don't like this fact, because it feels like, one, I'm not being the friend I want to be to him. I'm not being supportive. And I want to support him. I want him to be happy. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I can't help the fact that every single time he mentions having gone on a date, fear strikes up and I can't help how I feel. Yeah, I know it's a pattern that needs to be healed.
We'll take a look at where that might be coming from, sort of the origin point of that. And then we'll see if it has to go back into any past lives or if it's just from this lifetime. I want to thank Akula, my Akasha guide, for being here. Thank you to Archangel Metatron and Archangel Sandalphon for giving us access to the records today. How many past lives do we need to look at for this particular situation? Just one.
Okay.
So the first thing they're showing me is I'm seeing you're kind of a social butterfly in this previous lifetime. So you're at a really big party and you're sort of flitting about to various different people. You're having a great time. You're dancing.
Is this the 1920s? Because I'm being shown a flapper girl.
Just before.
Oh, just before the 1920s?
I'm getting like 1918, somewhere around there. I keep on hearing like you were on the leading edge of fashion, in fact. So you're throwing these big parties. You're doing all these things that you are seeing other people do in different societies. And yet people were still very stuck in some of the old ways of doing things. So like you were moving into new ways of doing things and other people were still stuck in the old ways. And so they were looking at you as a bit of an anomaly. In this particular lifetime, you were very much about trying to usher in that divine feminine energy. And so you were trying to help women stand up for themselves. You were trying to help women be autonomous on their own. And you're like, come on, it's almost the 1920s. We can do whatever we want. We can decide not to get married. We can decide to have jobs. We can decide to do all of these things. So you were like, whoo, and I'm getting super chills right now. You were just trying to spearhead women standing in their own power. And part of this had to do with marriage as well. So like you were very much encouraging friends and other people like, why would you want to get married? That's not necessary.
That sounds like me now.
They're saying it was almost like an extreme viewpoint when it came to that. And it was too much for the people that you were friends with at the time. So basically, you were like, come on, like we have to move into this new era. And your friends were like, yeah, we're on board. And then one by one, they were getting married off and then they were settling down. You looked at it as a betrayal. Like you thought that they were all on board with the energy that you were moving forward in. And you were trying to tell them like, you don't need a man to be stable. And they just didn't see it. They were like, we don't understand what you mean. Like, how am I supposed to make money? I'm hearing one of your friends say, I'm a seamstress. How can I raise my kids and support a family on a seamstress salary? You're saying, well, that's the point. You don't have to have a family if you don't want to. And she's like, well, but I do want to have a family. And I do want to have this relationship with my husband. And so this is where the disconnect came in, is because you were so excited and hyped up to usher in this new divine feminine. And when the women in your friend circle decided that they didn't want that, you were judging them. You were saying like, you're living in that old energy, like you're living in that old way of life. Why would you do that? And so one of the lessons that you're here to learn in this lifetime is that no matter what decisions people make, you have to accept the decisions for what they are. So if they decide to do something, it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with their own desires. So just because somebody makes a decision about their own life, it does not mean that they're, you know, sort of shunning you or pushing you away. It is simply a decision that they're going into another direction. If they are moving in that direction, and that potentially could mean that you're going to spend less time with that person, we have to allow the space for that to ebb and flow. If this person moves away from you, they move away from you. But it is more likely that they will probably move towards you again at another point. If you have this beautiful energetic connection together, you know that that can't ever be severed. So whether or not you may take some distance or not, they'll always sort of come back to your life. If they're an energetic match, if they're meant to, they're part of your soul family, whatever it happens to be.
Okay.
You were asking if there was something that you could tap on to clear this out of your energy field. And I would say that the first thing would be judgment. So tap on releasing the judgment of other people's decisions, especially when they're not in line with what you would want for yourself or for them.
Gotcha. It's old fear that's coming up. I don't even think I see me and him not being friends anytime soon. Honestly, I see him, me and him being kind of lifelong.
The other piece of this is your resentment towards the other person. For example, with your current friend that you're talking mm-hmm. about, you're going to look at the potential new romantic partner and say, I resent that person for taking my friend away. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's almost as if you're looking at it like it's not their decision. It's like they're being forced into something that they don't want to do. So you're making an assumption that your friend, and this is something that happened back in the lifetime we were just looking at, you mm-hmm. basically convinced yourself that it was the husbands or the significant others that convinced your friends to do things against their will. When in fact, that wasn't the case. Like they were doing exactly what they wanted to do. But you just wanted somebody to blame. And you didn't want to blame your friends because you didn't want to be angry with them. So then you decided to blame the other person, the person that sort of took them away from you.
Is my past life also where my resistance to getting married comes from?
You have several lifetimes resisting marriage. There's like 6 different lifetimes.
Have I ever been married, or have I even found love in past lives?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The lifetimes that I'm seeing laid out before me, you actually were married in a lot of them. So like, in other words, you were in marriages that you did not like, or that were not serving you, or you felt were holding you back. So that's where a lot of that belief system sort of came in. I'm seeing 3 lifetimes where you had marriages that were not great. And so that sort of solidified the, hey, I think marriage is bad. And then the three lifetimes leading up to this one, you were like, nope, I don't want to get married. Don't want to get married. Don't want to get married.
I thought this was just like my resistance this lifetime, because even my dad's like pressuring me to give him grandkids. And I'm like, can you like let me find someone I can tolerate first?
We'll take a look at that. But if you're not meant to be alone for the rest of your life, you will not be. Okay. Especially if you're able to work on this. And a lot of it has to do with desire as well. So like if you desire to be with somebody, it's about opening yourself up to the possibility of having that person in your life. So the first lifetime they're showing me was seven lifetimes ago. And you had a husband, and I'm hearing you say he's useless. Basically, he died and you were really thrilled about that. Like you were just like, I'm finally free. Yeah. You were just like, yep, I'm done. That was not fun. So basically, from that point on, you really kind of cultivated this idea that men are useless, that they serve no purpose in your life. So there's a bit of a contradicting energy that is permeated throughout your lifetimes where you are really trying to champion for the divine feminine and for the feminine collective. In that comes a lot of anger. In that comes a lot of hatred. What is happening today in this very moment is your ability to now shed that anger, that hatred towards men, towards lack of freedom, towards all of that, right? So to be able to usher in divine feminine is to be able to stand in your divine feminine while still allowing the divine masculine to be in that space. The pendulum swings one way and then extreme the other way until it finds its balance. That's what's happened for you over the course of the last several lifetimes, where the pendulum has swung one way and then it swung the other. And then now you're slowly trying to find your balance and starting to understand and realize that it's not men that are useless or the enemy. It's ultimately about the energies and about people, right? So we all have that divine masculine and divine feminine within us. And if there is something that we're railing against within that spectrum of masculine and feminine energy, it's something within ourselves that we need to look at. For you, with this sort of championing the divine feminine back in those three lifetimes, you basically were attracting the energy of the distorted masculine. You were trying to say like, look, all they do is this, this, and this, and this is why we need to break away from them. So it's like sometimes we need to go into that distortion in order to break away from old energy.
They're showing me, as you're saying this, kind of a vision. Have you ever seen the movie Little Women with Saoirse Ronan?
Yes.
Do you remember that scene where Joe starts talking about how women are more than just bodies? They have minds. They're more than what society makes them out to be. But at the same time, I am so lonely. I deeply, deeply resonate with her on that. Admittedly, yeah, there's a part of me that's lonely. Wanting to be independent and not wanting to be a housewife and all of that, because I don't think that role suits me. But at the same time, I also want companionship. I do want to have a family. I want kids. So it's like it's like a struggle. And I'm like, I sometimes feel like the biggest contradiction, because I'm wanting this, but I'm also wanting that.
And that is how you redefine what it means to be in your divine feminine energy. She's the divine creator. She is the manifester. She is the one who is able to receive the energy, to receive what it is she is manifesting in this world, right? So to have the freedom to have whatever it is that you want to have for your life, that includes companionship, that includes children, that includes whatever you want it to be. But does that need to look like everything that is past? No, absolutely not. You can make your own rules as to what you want to do and how you want to move forward. When you look at the other person that you're in partnership with is an extension of divine source energy, so are you, and you're coming together, walking the path together, not overtaking each other's path in order to be able to have that healthy connection. The other person, whoever this is, won't want to take away your freedom, won't want to silence your voice in your championing of women. The person you're going to be with is not somebody who will stifle you. They will raise you up and help you achieve the things that you want to achieve by energetic support, right? So these are the things that we are moving into as a collective. So this isn't just you. This is a huge collective thing that many, many light workers are working on at this moment as we're ushering in the new divine feminine. And in the new divine feminine has to come the healing of the distorted masculine. And the distorted masculine is within all of us.
So if I may ask, what exactly do you mean by distorted masculine?
So distorted masculine looks like control. It looks like the patriarchy, like trying to hide information, trying to keep power and control, trying to keep feminine energy basically as low as possible. Like it is something that that distorted version of the masculine has to heal. And what that needs to do is realize that not only are they divine masculine, but they're also divine feminine. So they can actually expose and be vulnerable to their own wounding. Because what is power and control? Why is it there? Well, it's there because of fear, because they're afraid of losing something. Well, where is that fear coming from? Okay, where is that pain coming from? So it's all tied to like their own wounding and the sort of patriarchal wounding that is within. Like all of the things society has asked of the patriarchy, even though the patriarchy created what it is, society still feeds into that, right? So it's a constant energy that has been fed into over centuries that we are now trying to unravel. And so when you unravel something, you have to be in the void. And once you get into the void, it's like that masculine energy is like, well, so if I'm not this anymore, if I'm not this distorted thing anymore, what am I? And that's the space that the masculine energy needs to get to before it moves into the divine masculine energy. This is actually my own soul and life purpose, where I'm helping people understand the balance between the divine feminine, divine masculine energy and how that relates to each one of us, because we all have distorted feminine, we all have distorted masculine, we all have divine masculine and divine feminine within us. Whatever is reflecting back at us at any given moment, that's what we need to look at. So a lot of what you were looking at in that previous life was distorted feminine. Was the distorted feminine necessary? Yeah, absolutely. It was necessary because you needed to pull away from the old way of doing things. And in order to do so, you needed to go into that anger space. You needed to go into that resentment space or whatever that was in order to break out of that mold that had been created over centuries. Once you're out of the mold, though, to continue with the anger and the fear and all of that is not necessary, and it just creates more distortion. So what do you need to do? You need to clear that fear and distortion to start coming back to your balance and to your center. And what does that mean? That means embracing and loving all parts of you, the shadow parts of the divine feminine masculine and the divine parts of those two things. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So when it comes to your friendships and taking a look at how you're feeling, if your friend says, hey, I'm on a dating app, I just met somebody.
Yeah.
What is your initial feeling right now in this moment when you hear that?
Afraid of losing them, even though I know it's my fears and I know I'm probably, I guess you could say, overreacting with the situation. It's still a fear of, I'm afraid of losing him. I'm afraid of drifting apart. Yeah.
So I want to say that there is no overreaction because your feeling is your feeling. Okay.
Yeah.
So no matter what it is, I want you to try to not put any sort of judgment onto that. Okay.
Yeah.
So then when it comes to feeling like you might lose him, I want you to feel into what that would feel like if you did lose him. What would that feel like for you?
Heartbreak, devastation, possibly betrayal, but it's a little hard for me to describe how it feels because I think there's a part of me that doesn't even know how I feel. I don't know what words to give the emotions or what labels to give the emotions. I just know it doesn't feel good. I'm losing a lot of people in my life that I actually consider family, and I'm trying not to lose anymore because having that support system is so important. And I've lost so many that I'm like, this doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
And I'm like, am I losing them because of me and fears and from past lives and situations and all that? Or
the thing that I would like to do right now is we're going to go into that bubble of protection right now because we're going to do some work surrounding this. I think that some of this healing can actually really help you move forward in some lighter energies. Okay. I would like you to imagine that you've got a bubble of divine light protection surrounding you. And I would like you to imagine a light that's emanating from the center of your heart space and allow that light to expand as big as this bubble is, about 6 feet in every direction around your body. And so I would like you to imagine that you have a version of yourself that is standing right in front of you. And this is a version of you that is non-diluted, absolute pure emotion regarding the fear, the resentment, the anger of losing friends, friends leaving you, friends finding somebody else to spend their time with. And I would like you to connect to that version of yourself. And I would like you to ask that version of yourself what she needs in this moment.
I'm hearing the words, I'm tired of being different.
So what about her feels different?
The way she thinks, this might be old wounds and trauma coming up. I'm hearing I'm not wanted. I'm too much. Actually, she's talking a lot about what I used to feel when I was a kid, which I thought I actually healed and took care of. But apparently it might still be coming up because she's telling me no one wants me around. No one cares.
So can I ask you where all of this sounds familiar to you? These exact words?
I'm hearing family.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might be generational trauma is what I'm hearing.
Absolutely. Yes.
Years of not feeling wanted, not feeling like anyone cares about me.
Yeah.
And I know my mom is feeling this in spades right now.
Exactly.
It's generational trauma. And she's also feeling like it's her responsibility to clear it. She doesn't know how when she can't heal it from herself. She's like, how am I supposed to help heal this when I'm feeling it myself?
We're going to ask your mom's higher self to be in the bubble with us.
There's a lot of sadness coming through my heart right now. It's like it's getting more intense.
All of what you're feeling in terms of the being different, not being accepted, all of that, that's all coming from ancestral line on your mom's side. Okay. I'm going to ask the guides what kind of ancestral trauma this is and how far back it goes. So give me a second. Yeah. It's still permeating through the ancestral line. So what they're showing me is like a faucet. Okay. So if you can imagine a faucet or like a waterfall of some sort, and it's just pouring over you. It's pouring over you consistently. And you can bail the water out as much as you can. You can try to use an umbrella, you're still going to get wet. That's what's happening because the energy is coming down from your grandmother. So your grandmother.
Oh, my grandmother.
Yeah.
Was it before her?
Nope. It started with her. It starts with your grandmother and she's consistently pouring it on your mother. And your mom has been in a boat trying to bail the water out with like holes in the boat and a waterfall over her head. Like that's what she's been trying to do.
How do you heal it?
So we're going to ask. Hold on. Let me see. We need to pull your grandmother's higher self into the bubble as well. I want you to imagine a beautiful divine light at the top of your head. And we're just going to clear this energy, this feeling that you have. And we're going to do the same for your mom. Another beautiful divine light over her head, shielding her from the deluge of water over her. And then we're going to do the same for your grandmother. And I'm going to ask your grandmother and her higher self what it is that she needs to release this feeling of not belonging, of not being accepted. So she's very obstinate. She's basically saying, I don't need anything. I'm always going to be this way. I'm never going to be accepted. Everyone's always going to hate me. And that's how it's going to be. Like that's, she's kind of resolute in that feeling. Okay, so I'm going to ask Archangel Raphael to be with us in this bubble to help sort of soften the energy a little bit for her and ask what healing needs to take place with her in order to clear this ancestral line trauma. She needs to realize her own self-worth. Okay, how can we help her do that?
And that's not easy. I know from personal experience.
Well, we're working with the 5D self. We're not working with the 3D self. So the 5D self is much easier to work with. The eventual energy will ground into the 3D. You know, sometimes it can take years, sometimes it could take lifetimes, sometimes it could take 5 minutes, but it doesn't matter regardless. We're gonna try to get this cleared. So then at least your mom and you can start having some relief from these feelings.
I'm feeling water on the outside of my body.
Yeah. I mean, that's the metaphor for what this energy is. So that's not surprising. Okay, so let's see what else Archangel Raphael has to say about possibly helping her with this. Hold on. She needs to understand that she is worthy. She needs to understand that she is just as divine and just as perfect as every other soul on this planet. She can be ostentatious and still be lovable. She can be the person who is dancing in a crowd, letting the music take her body where she wants it to without being judged. She can do whatever it is that makes her happy to express this divine spark within her without judgment. She's looking at her childhood now, your grandmother. She's looking at her five-year-old self. She loved to dance. Yes, this is where the trauma started. She loved to dance just like you.
And my mom. My mom got our love to dance from grandma. Grandma loved dancing. That's a good thing.
Yeah. And she loved doing it. And so she's just enjoying her life and her energy and her movement and her body. And I'm hearing somebody on the outside. Was it her mother? No, it was another mother. Okay, so it was a mother of maybe a friend or something. She's saying, don't move your body like that. That is suggestive. Don't move it like that. What can we do to help that five-year-old version of your grandmother to not feel ashamed of her body, not feel ashamed of what she's doing, to know that no matter what she does, how she expresses herself, it's totally okay? We're going to remove that woman from the situation. Okay, great. Thank you. So let's put that five-year-old version of your grandmother in a bubble of divine light protection. We're going to remove that experience from her past. We're going to insulate that bubble with soundproofing. So this woman who approaches her, she's not even going to hear anything she says. She's going to continue dancing and continue being exactly who she wants to be without judgment. She will no longer carry that feeling of judgment for who she wants to be. Was it only that woman that told her that? Yes, it was that one moment. That's all it took. And she took that energy ball of judgment and grew that energy ball of judgment over the course of her lifetime. So by the time was an adult, that ball was 6 feet tall.
Well, I mean, that doesn't surprise me. Any five-year-old would.
Mm.
She was young. So it doesn't shock me that she took it on.
Yeah, we all do that from time to time where we hear something in our childhood and then we just take it as a belief system and we hold on to it.
Well, especially when it's like super critical and judgmental, it's hard to, like they say in Pretty Woman, the bad stuff is easier to believe. Sorry that happened to you.
That ball of judgment, that ball of not feeling enough, of not being accepted, we're just going to allow that ball to melt away. And I'm seeing that the waterfall, the spigot on your mother is now turning off.
Okay.
It's now just sort of dripping from the faucet. Your mom is still drenched, but she can breathe and so can you.
Is my mom going to feel physically and emotionally all of this?
She will feel drained for the next few days. She's been working very, very hard to keep this at bay for a very long time. Once this is all done and complete, we're going to add some extra healing light into this bubble for not only your mom, but for your grandmother, for that five-year-old version of your grandmother, in addition to you, because basically you have been taking this on as well.
Yeah.
So your mom has been trying to bail the water out of the boat and you're basically on the other side of the boat going, okay, I'm going to help you.
Or at least try.
But it's not working. So now the water has stopped. And so now you can start repairing. You can start healing.
Gotcha. Okay? Thank you.
I want you both, when you listen to this recording again, yeah. I want you to both imagine the sun coming out. And I want you to imagine the sun sort of drying all of that wetness. You're basking in the sun, releasing yourself from that emotion, from the ancestral trauma of what your grandmother experienced.
I have to ask this real quick. Did my grandmother ever have feelings of being suicidal?
She did. Often.
God, okay. Often?
Often. Mm-hmm.
Gosh. Both of us, man. I felt it too when I was a kid.
Yeah. It feels to me that that's all connected to the ancestral trauma of not being able to be yourself, not being able to be accepted for who you are.
Gotcha. Okay. Is there any other generational trauma we have to clear?
Not at this time. So the reason they wanted me to bring this up, because I was actually sort of internally asking this earlier.
Yeah.
I was asking, like, why did this not come up before? Because we have touched on this before with your mother. And they're saying because it wasn't time. The energy for you, the energy for your mom, the energy for your grandmother, like, it just wasn't time.
Okay, here's my question. Why is time a factor here with healing? Like, if there's something that needs to be healed, why does it have to be coincide with being the right time? Why can't we just heal it now, if that makes sense?
It makes a ton of sense. So part of the reason is because it has to do with the willingness of another person. So if it's just your own healing, like your own healing, you can decide to heal anything right now. You can heal whatever you want to heal. But if it's regarding another person, like an ancestral trauma, sometimes it takes that person, the originator of the ancestral trauma, to be in an energetic space to be able to release it. You can heal it within yourself, but if you still have that waterfall cascading over you from somebody else, you're still going
to
feel it.
So basically the reason why we couldn't do it this before is because my grandma wasn't ready to heal it.
Correct. Now, part of what helped heal this and what helped her be okay with being able to heal this was some of the work that we did previously. So I did some work with your mom regarding your grandmother a few months ago. And with that work, that was enough to open up her energy enough to be able to allow this other healing to take place. It does come off in layers. When it comes down to the timing of it, does it have to do with actual time? No. It has to do with the timing of when the person is ready to release and let go of that energy. Because when you are trying to get out of an emotion, but the emotion is just bombarding you constantly, the only thing you can do is just surrender to it. Because if you're fighting it constantly, it's basically just going to continue to overtake you. So it's like now that the water has been turned off, the energy of that has been turned off, you probably will feel that a lot less moving forward. Your mom will feel it a lot less moving forward, but she will also need to heal the core wound of that. She will be able to finish the rest of the work now that she's basically not bailing the water out of the boat trying to save her own life. Now it's about feeling it and moving through those feelings and emotions, knowing that you will get to the other side and it will feel much, much lighter on the other side. You will feel like you have let go of a huge, huge burden. Okay.
I don't know which chakra it is. I can't tell right now, but there's quite a few chakras in me that are feeling lighter. They're feeling kind of cold. It doesn't hurt. It's just like, wow, it's massive.
I want you to feel that. I want you to extend that energy up to the divine. So as you're clasping hands with your mom and your grandmother, imagine that you're all three of you are channeling this beautiful divine light. Release anything that does not serve you any longer.
I have to ask this. There is someone, I don't know who this being is, but there's a very light being who's taking my hands. They're looking at me and they're smiling. Mm-hmm. Who is this? And they're like helping me release this.
I'm getting Archangel Ariel.
Archangel Ariel? Mm-hmm. It's like massive. I'm like, okay. Oh God, this feeling is getting bigger. My God. It's like pure light surrounding me.
Let it wash over you for the moment. So I want you to think release, 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 and allow your mom and your grandmother to release as well. The more you release, the more they release, the more this can finally go as an energy and be recycled into light. And allow whatever darkness, whatever shadow needs to go to be absorbed by Gaia, by Mother Earth.
I'm hearing the words, we've been waiting a long time for this to happen. Okay. So this was incredibly big.
Beautiful. I'm so glad. I'm going to ask the guides real quick to see if there's anything else that we need to do to clear this before we close. Okay. So just let me check in. No, they said that they've taken over now. So they're going to continue to work with you two for the next couple of hours. And then they're saying at that point, they'll let you rest and then ask the spirit team to help you. If it's, you know, whoever you need, definitely ask for their help in clearing any of this if it needs to in the future.
I'm being told that the trauma is starting to get cleared.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for this beautiful work that you're doing. Thank your mom. And I want to thank all of the guides and angels for all of the work that they were helping us do. thanks to your grandmother as well for being willing to do this healing work to help the both of you. I'm going to close the Akashic Records. Thank you so much to all of my guides, Akula, my Akashic guide, and Archangel Metatron and Archangel Sandalphon for being here with us today. The records are closed. The records are closed. The records are closed. Thank you.
We want to acknowledge and thank Marla for her courage and willingness to be vulnerable and allow us to record her session. So Annette, what was your feelings and impressions of this session?
So I had been working with Marla and her mother, as you said, for quite some time. I feel like this was one of the more powerful sessions we had because there had been a lot of really stuck energy between them and also in the ancestral line. And oftentimes the Akashic guides don't really tell us the things that we want to know if we're not meant to know it at that time. And that was certainly the case during this session where the timing was everything. And there can be many, many reasons for that. It can be that the energy isn't right, that maybe they needed to heal something within themselves first before they could heal this, which was partially the case here. I've had some subsequent sessions since we recorded this, and it has made a significant impact on both of their lives.
Amazing. What I really appreciated, the unfolding of this particular session, she just came to you with one single, seemingly simple question, which was about a repeating pattern in her life. And it's just really cool to watch the unfolding of the session and how this one question takes you down a rabbit hole, which leads to this amazing healing that happens. The first part that I found really fascinating was the discussion about the distorted masculine and feminine. And I feel like you articulated that explanation so perfectly. It was resonating from something that I had long ago intuitively understood, but could not have possibly even explained it to myself, let alone to someone else. So can we do a little bit of a deep dive into the distorted masculine and feminine? Why do they become distorted?
Ultimately, the short answer is wounding. So behind every distorted masculine or distorted feminine, you have some sort of trauma, whether it is a personal trauma or collective trauma, happens to be rooted in fear. That's another good reason why that distortion happens. The fear can then turn into anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. And I know you're not into Star Wars, but that is a Star Wars quote. But that is absolutely true. Because what happens is you go through whatever it is you're going through, whether it's fear, whether it's trauma, whether it's sadness, whatever it happens to be. And we all respond to those things differently. And if you don't have the tools to know how to move through it, then that emotion is just going to stay buried inside you. And then it continues to create larger emotions. So that's why behind anger, you have hurt. Behind jealousy, you have insecurity. So you have all of these different things that are sort of behind the bigger emotions. For example, with distorted feminine energy, you're going to see a lot of manipulation. You're going to see possibly jealousy. You're going to see victim mentality. The, oh, this is always happening to me. Why is this always happening to me? Things like that. And so when you are in that space, you're operating from that distorted place. All of your energy and all of your decisions are going to be rooted in that energy. And then likewise with the distorted masculine, that looks like taking away people's will. Just look at the patriarchy. That's an example of distorted masculine.
Well, I think just looking at the state of the world, that's pretty much us seeing the distorted feminine and masculine. That feels like a pretty good description of what's happening in the world. The next logical question is, how do we heal it?
Well, the easiest way to heal it is to love all of it within ourselves. So part of the issue at the moment is that with, let's say, distorted feminine in the victim mentality, it's always somebody else's fault. And so if you're vilifying, let's say, the patriarchy for being in distorted masculine energy, you have to actually look at that distorted masculine energy within yourself. So there's always going to be the distorted masculine and the distorted feminine within each one of us, as well as the divine feminine and divine masculine. It's very difficult to heal if you're basically accusing or saying, well, they're doing this and they're doing that and they're evil, or that, you know, you're accusing people or you're judging people for other things, you're not going to heal any of the distorted energies or integrate those distorted energies if you are constantly outwardly focused. So the first way that you can start healing that distortion within you is to actually start looking at all the places that you're triggered on the outside. So if you're looking at people on TV, friends, people you don't like, and you start judging them for something, it's a pretty good indication that you've got something else going on within you that you're judging about yourself.
Does judgment refer to the distorted feminine or masculine or both?
That's a very good question. I would say judgment is both.
So in my example, as a female, I'm likely to have, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I'm likely to have more of the distorted feminine in me. How do I identify the distorted masculine in me?
The distorted masculine, it can be really sneaky sometimes, especially when you identify as female. You can overlook it. You can look at the businesswoman who has to not have emotion, who has to be as good as a man, who has to climb that corporate ladder, who has to work twice as hard to get half the amount of pay, has to be ruthless and step on people because they have to succeed. That's distorted masculine within a feminine. The distorted masculine resides in so many feminine energies right now because of the fact that we've had to prove ourselves worthy in a male-dominated world. In order to match them and in order to sort of come up to their level, so to speak, we've had to become distorted masculine in order to compete. And we're talking in a sort of business sense, but that is one way that that distorted masculine can come up. Having to withhold our emotions because we feel like if we are emotional that we're going to be chastised for it. Or trying to control situations. Control is another one that is really big in distorted masculine. So if you find yourself being a super control freak, that could be distorted masculine. Being passive aggressive, that would be another distorted feminine. So it's about really looking at how you're responding in your own environment and where you're operating. And are you trying to be something that society is asking of you, or that you feel society is asking of you, or are you trying to forge your own path?
Just for clarity, in that since we now know what the distorted masculine in a female looks like, what does the distorted feminine in a male look like?
Distorted feminine in a male identifying person would probably look a lot like obsession, needing to have the other person, let's say in a partnership, have the other person constantly validate their position in the relationship, let's say. Jealousy can also be in the same. So it's the same for all genders, actually, in fact, that jealousy is kind of universal in that distorted feminine energy. A distorted feminine would be trying to sabotage somebody behind their back, that kind of thing. If you think about feminine energy just in and of itself, and this has nothing to do with gender, it has everything to do with just the energy. Feminine energy is receiving. So it is basically stating to the universe, hey, this is what I want. And then allowing that to come to you and just receiving it. And then the masculine energy is all about taking action. It's no surprise that astrologically, the divine feminine is symbolized as the moon and the divine masculine is the sun. So the moon is always sort of mysterious and hidden. The sun is right out there. It's big and bright and it's right in your face, right? If you kind of think of those energies in that respect. So when you're thinking about any behavior that you have, just really kind of check in with yourself and say, okay, what is this behavior coming from? What energy is this coming from?
That's a good explanation of the two. Let's talk about balancing the two energies, which conveniently you mentioned is one of your soul purposes. Can you tell us a little bit more about how that manifests in your life?
It's funny you ask that because ultimately I've had to experience a whole lot of the opposite of balance in order to understand what it means. A majority of my life, I've experienced sort of the distorted masculine and the distorted feminine. Actually, in fact, through both of my parents from a very early age. So I saw all of the versions of distorted masculine and feminine in my family. With my mom, I saw a lot of victim mentality. I saw a lot of, oh, poor me, you know, that kind of thing. But then also she was incredibly strong and she got through a lot of the hardships that she did. to be able to understand that everybody's doing the best they can in any situation that they're in, and they're using the tools that they have at that moment. For example, right now, would my mom do the same thing she did back then? Probably not, because she has more tools than she did then. So how do you balance that? Well, you don't necessarily have to do anything. It is up to you whether or not you're gonna evolve and grow in this lifetime. But just by learning and moving through patterns, you can start to see where you might be reacting out of wounding in certain areas, or where you might be reacting out of love, or where you might be just in a place of neutrality. So just by observing how you're responding in any situation is a really good place to start. Because until you actually recognize what you're doing, you're never going to be able to either integrate it or change it or evolve. A really good example of this was unraveling codependency is huge. I've been slowly unraveling all of the codependency, all of the distorted energies. And even to this day, like occasionally I'll have a family member or somebody come up to me, usually it's my sister, who will say, hey, yeah, so, you know, remember when you did this or you did that? Like, that can't happen anymore. And I'll hear her say it and I'll be like, oh my God, yeah, that was super codependent. Wow, I can't believe I didn't see that before. So it's like when you are able to identify those places that are not in alignment for you, and how you know that is because your body's going to tell you. If it's uncomfortable, if you're anxious, angry, frustrated, sad, all of those emotions are going to tell you that you're not in alignment. That would be the first place to start. We're not here to basically say distorted masculine is bad, it needs to go away. No, it's part of us. It's part of all of us. So we need to understand the distorted masculine and say, okay, what does distorted masculine need to not be so distorted anymore? What does distorted feminine need to not be so distorted anymore? And so that's what you need to figure out. And it's going to be different for everyone.
That's interesting, because when I asked you that question of how that purpose manifests, the way my thinking was that it's something that one has to do. And that is perhaps a very good example of not fully understanding the divine feminine and masculine energies, because in fact, as I'm hearing, your answer is not about anything you actually have to do. It's something that you have to be, something you have to embody, something that you have to understand.
Energy doesn't lie, and that's why you have to embody it. So you could say, oh, I'm in my divine feminine and I'm not jealous and I'm totally secure with myself. But if your energy is still in that jealousy and still in that insecurity, you can say that all you want, but your energy is going to lead the way, and that's what's going to be showing up.
So this deep dive into the divine masculine and feminine energies that happened in the session with Mala was really interesting, because it led to quite an amazing healing that took place. So it involved both her mother and her grandmother. Now, her mother, as you mentioned, doing sessions with yourself as well. Her grandmother, on the other hand, has passed. So the healing with the grandmother was done with her 5D self. So the healing that you did involved changing the past, where you had stopped her from hearing a particular piece of information, which then developed a whole course of action in her life. The simple question in this part is, can you really change the past?
It's so interesting that you're asking this right now, because I just had a session yesterday where we did that exact thing. And it was a conversation about, like, can you really change the past? Is that really possible? And if you do change the past, isn't that going to change your present? And my answer was essentially, life is not a time travel movie, as much as I would love it to be. It's not like the butterfly effect where you change one thing and it's going to change everything in your future. The energy is what we're working with. We're not working with the memories or the actual physical happenings of it, because yes, that event or whatever it is still happened. But what we're doing is we're going back retroactively and removing the energy of it. You're still keeping the memories and the lessons intact, but you're removing whatever trauma was created at that time. Because time is all happening simultaneously. We say past lives, we say future, but everything is happening simultaneously. So you're not only helping the previous version of yourself, or in this case, her grandmother, but we're also helping future incarnations of her grandmother as well as the ancestral line. Does that make sense?
Yes. Can you explain a little bit more about what you mean by not changing the experiences and the learnings, but changing the energy and removing the trauma? How do you separate the two?
Part of the issue with a lot of these concepts and things that I see in the records is that I see it clearly and I feel it and I know it, but to actually put it into words sometimes can be difficult to sort of translate into language. And in fact, in other sessions that I've done, you'll hear me while I'm in the channel and my guides will say, there are no words in the human language to describe what it is that we're trying to tell you. So we'll give you an approximation.
Yes, I have. And it's quite funny when that happens.
I know. I also find it funny when they basically tell me, you don't have any reference for this in your brain, so just let us take over the channel. And I'm like, ah, cool. You're basically telling me I don't know anything about this. Okay, cool. That's great. The best way that I can describe this is if you can imagine right now, if you were to go through something tough, like a trauma of some sort, let's say it was a death in the family or something, and that energy of that death in the family, that grief, you're basically carrying around like a 100-pound weight or a 50 kilo weight.
Not quite, but thank you.
You know me and my conversions with kilos and pounds. Oh, I'm such an American sometimes. So basically, it's like carrying around that weight. So you can either carry the weight or you don't have to carry the weight, but you're still going to move forward in your life knowing that that experience happened, having whatever lessons or feelings or revelations or whatever you happen to experience from that event. But it is whether or not you are going to move through the rest of your life with that information, with the weight or without it. And that's what the clearing does. So the clearing basically goes back to the origin point and says, see this weight that you've been carrying around for your entire life? You could have left that weight back at the origin point of when that happened. You didn't have to carry that with you. And basically, you could have gone through the rest of your life knowing, okay, yes, I had to go through all of this in order to get here. But there's not that really deep, deep emotional attachment to the emotion of it. And it's interesting that I used grief as an example for, you know, somebody crossing over, because that can be a really big one for people to not be able to let go of, because they feel like if they let go of that grief, that they're forgetting their loved one. When that's not the case, you're allowing yourself to not have to feel the heaviness of that energy anymore.
That then brings us to the second part of the question, which is the fact that you needed to ask Mala's grandmother to participate. At first, she was a bit reluctant. Apparently, even once they've crossed, they can be a bit reluctant.
Certainly. Yeah, it just depends on where they are in their journey. So there are many different reasons why souls can be reluctant. I usually get a lot of reluctance in curses. So if there was somebody who cast a curse, I'll get a lot of resistance in that. They have their human trauma suit still on. And so when we cross over and when we are, you know, going through the other dimensions, it's like each dimension we go through as we clear as our soul goes back to source energy or goes back to wherever we came from, it's like we take off another layer of the trauma suit from being on Earth, right? So, and then as you reincarnate, you actually start putting on those layers again. So as you go down through the dimensions, you basically, oh, well, there's that layer. Okay, got to put on that layer again. Okay, there's that layer again. Oh, wow, there's that karma. Oh, crap. Okay, I got to put that one on too. So like, as you come back down, then you're fully embodied in your full trauma suit that you can start the new life in. Okay. I did actually a channeled message not too long ago about psychic debris. And that's exactly what it is. It's basically like a dust cloud of all of the crap that you pick up over your human lifetime that just kind of surrounds your soul. So your soul is never tainted. It's never dark. Your soul is always pure. It's just what you have around you. So now to answer your question about why she would be reluctant, when I was in the session, I didn't check in on that. So I'm going to actually ask right now, was the grandmother, is she incarnated on Earth yet? No. So she's still on the other side? Yes. Okay. Is she still going through a healing process? She is. Okay. So she's not fully in the other dimensions. She is, but she's still going through a healing process. The healing process for a soul can take many, many years even, depending on what they have gone through. So a soul may just rest. A soul may just go through the cleansing process. There's a healing temple that you've seen, Annette, in the Akashic Records. They will go to the healing temple for any number of months or years or however long they need to go. But you understand that time is not the same as it is when you are on Earth. So ultimately, if it is a couple of years Earth time, it might be 3 seconds for her time. So she's still in the process of healing. Had she been through the clearing and cleansing process and was completing her life review and was going into the other realms, she would have had no resistance to healing that. But this is also why the significance of the timing of this healing was important, because had they tried to do the healing prior to this moment, her soul would have had even more resistance and it wouldn't have been able to happen. So her soul needed to be at a certain point in the cleansing process in order for that to be able to take place.
Cool indeed. I don't think I've ever observed you going into a channel before. I've heard it. I've heard it recorded, but I've never seen it IRL. It's cool.
Is it cool?
It's like possessed, but like cool possessed. Yes, you can quote me on that.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, I know that my mannerisms change.
Yeah, you're like, you close your eyes and it's a different cadence. And yeah, it's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can, I mean, you can tell. You can always tell when I'm in a channel.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's a thank you to whoever guided that channel.
Sakula.
Thanks, Sakula. So we're talking about timing and kind of divine timing in that sense. You said that this healing couldn't have taken at an earlier time, mm-hmm. and it also needed the participation of Mala's grandmother mm-hmm. in order to happen completely, mm-hmm. in order for the faucet to be turned off, as you said. What free will do we really have then if we're dependent on ancestors who are maybe willing and maybe not willing, maybe ready, maybe not ready to participate in the healings that need to happen?
I think there's two separate questions in that, actually. If you imagine we have destiny points, so you have your birth, you have the parents you chose, then you have your death, you choose that too. Then you have, let's say, a person that you're going to have a relationship with. You have these destiny points. And then you have your life and soul purpose and where those fit in your soul plan and where this fits in your life plan, how you've outlined it before you came here. In between all of that, that's the free will bit. So we can choose everything and how we get there. And there are times when, like, for example, I see people who aren't meant to be with anyone in particular in terms of like a romantic sense. They might say, oh my God, that's awful. I'm not meant to be with anybody. No, that's awesome, because that means you can pick whoever you want. What are your choices? What are your options? For me, there are a lot of things in this particular lifetime that have been pretty solidly ingrained in my life path. So I've had some frustration over the course of my life where I've wanted to do things and the universe is like, nope, nope, nope. Like shutting doors. Nope, you're not doing that. Nope, you're not going over there. So it's like the universe is constantly nudging us into the right path that's going to help us clear those things. Nobody needs an Akashic reading to clear these things, because we're constantly clearing these things, just living our lives. But it just takes a lot longer. It could take 20 lifetimes. It could take 7 lifetimes. It could take 1 to clear any given number of traumas, karmas, whatever it is that you're trying to clear.
In the specific case of Mala, this energy that she had been feeling for a long time is something she had wanted to clear, presumably years ago, but couldn't because the timing wasn't right for her grandmother to participate. There was nothing that Mala could have done with her free will for this to have happened earlier.
There are things you can do with your free will to be able to sort of cut off that energy. The challenge with that is that it gets reattached. There are multiple ways you can approach a healing or approach a clearing, but unless you get to the root of it, it's still going to come up. I'll challenge you to sort of look into your own life where you've had situations where you're like, oh God, I thought I cleared that, and yet it's popping up again. When we were going back in time and clearing that for her grandmother, removing that weight from her, that big anvil that she was carrying, if you can imagine it from this perspective, that she basically gave a bit of that weight, a bit of that anvil to every single ancestor moving down. So let's say she had 100-pound weight. She gave her daughter a 50-pound weight And then her granddaughter, who is Mala, has a 25-pound weight, right? The energy gets less and less and less as it goes on. Mala is carrying around all of her weight of what she has. And then she's also carrying a weight that says grandma on it. And so she's carrying around grandma's weight too. So she's still able to make her free will choices. She's able to do whatever she needs to do, but she's just carrying this extra baggage that she has that has grandma's name on it.
Right. That's kind of the point, is that she is destined, if you will, to carry that weight until such a time as, which means that she has very little influence over her ability to fully shed that.
I mean, the simple answer is yes.
That's what I was wondering.
I'm going to actually check in a little bit on that, because I want to get a little bit further into that about why that is. It's just simply the act of living. It happens. It's like psychic debris or any other energy that comes into your energy field. It's the same. It doesn't affect your free will. It just is. Soul fragments are the same way. You give people soul fragments. People give you soul fragments in times of trauma or times of pain. It happens. It doesn't prevent you from making free will choices. It just simply is until it's not. Well, that's delightfully vague. Akula, come on. Can you do a little better than that?
And there you go. Live from the Akashic Records. It is what it is.
I feel like it does need more clarity. But the one thing I can definitely say, though, Julia, is that I don't have all the answers. I can also say that.
Damn it, Annette. And here I was counting on you. If not you, then who?
I mean, that's the thing, is that I know what I see and what I channel and what I know. But there are always pieces of the puzzle that we just don't have. I love how these things unfold, too. For some reason, I have a feeling that as we move throughout this season, somehow this question is going to come up again and somehow it's going to get answered. So I have no doubt. Again, in the right timing.
In divine timing, with or without the involvement of our free will, it shall be answered.
Okay, so I'm going to pull us out of this wonderful conversation that Julia and I are having. And I feel like I'm almost breaking the fourth wall a little bit because I'm speaking directly to you right now. So Julia and I were talking about how this question would be answered in divine timing, and it did indeed get answered in exactly the right timing. As I was editing this episode, Julia and I have a tendency to, you know, send the episode back and forth. She makes her edits, I make my edits. And I was doing the final polish, and as I was listening to the episode, I was like, oh, I know the answer to this question. And it's a very simple answer, which is we choose these experiences. So in this case, we know that we are incarnating into this ancestral line with these ancestral traumas. And so we are doing this purposely, either because we are here to help clear them, and they are going to clear when we are ready to do that work and when we are in a place where we can do that work. And there's also the aspect where we will incarnate into certain generational trauma because it's something that will help propel us on our spiritual journeys. And maybe this is something that Mala will be helping others with in the future. So you just never know how that's going to play out. I'm glad I was able to give you a little bit more clarity on this subject. And so now back to Julia.
It's been very enlightening to hear all of your perspective on this episode so far today. So thank you so much, Annette, for everything you've been able to share. We wish them a fulfilling journey on this path of healing. And who knows, maybe we might just check in with them somewhere down the path.
Yeah, I'm sure Mala would enjoy that, actually. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Julia.
And thank you, Annette. Until next time.
Until next time.
If you would like to get in touch with either Julia or myself, feel free to head to my website at infinitesoullove.com. You can also follow me on all social media at infinitesoullove1111. And that is on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. Thanks so much, and see you next week.